That the mind of Christ? Well, how can you disagree with me if you don't know what it is? How can I put on the mind of Christ if I don't know what to pick up and put on? Right or wrong? Okay? So all he's wanting you to do is think. And every bit of this means that he thought. He thought. Who did he think like? He thought like his father. Why did he do what he did? And this is the answer. He knew who he was. He knew his identity. Right? He knew who his father was. He had a relationship with his father, didn't he? He said, I do everything the father tells me to do. Everything he says, I hear. That's what I say. So he had a relationship. See, you can't be that intimate with someone without having a relationship. And he knew his purpose. He knew why he came. Right? In one place he said, for this purpose, John said, was the Son of Man came forth, that he might destroy the works of the devil, or the evil one, the Poneros. See, Jesus came to destroy the works of the natural mind in humanity. He knew his destiny. It was to reconcile all of humanity back to him. And he knew his will from his Father's will. What did he say in the garden? Not my will, but your will be done. See? Now, all you got to do is this right here. See, you insert that right there. Okay? And every time it says, he knew who he was. Helen knew who Helen was. Come on. You've got to put yourself in this thing. You can't keep God external from you and grow. You have to let God be God inside of you. Does that make sense to you? We can no longer keep God out at arm's length out here and grow in the kingdom. We have to come in. Rick knew his father. What is that? It's relationship. See, when he knew him, Adam knew his wife. He was intimate with her. We're not talking just about sex. He knew her. Okay? Just like we know each other because we're intimate with each other. Ed knew his purpose. And don't laugh. Ed's going to know his purpose. Ed didn't come to this world for no reason, did he? Ed's got a purpose. He's going to know it. In God's time, he will reveal your purpose. That's your destiny. See? God don't give it to you when you start. If he gave it to you when you started, we'd all commit suicide because we couldn't stand the pressure that would come. But once he grows us up, he'll give us the load we can carry. Okay? And four, Phil knew God's will from Phil's will. From his father's will, rather. Right? Each one of us have to put ourselves in this writing. If we keep ourselves out of it, we're just playing religion. Come on. We can't play religion. God said he winked at this sin and all this stuff in the past, but now he calls to all men to what? Repent. What does it mean? Change the way you think. See, as long as we think God's out there, we're never going to grow in the kingdom. We'll never walk in peace. We have to get God freedom and liberty inside of us to do anything he wants to do. Didn't I just teach in the, was it in Matthew 5? Let me back up a minute and see. Yes. I will go back and touch this. In Matthew 5:17, okay? This thing's never left my spirit when God showed this to me. It just, poof. Think not I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall not no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth pass. Do you remember this passage? See, heaven and earth. What's the first thing we notice about heaven and earth? Some of you should remember it. Heaven's way up there, and earth's way down here. Now, what's the big thing you notice about it? There's a big gap between them. Hello? God is spirit. Heaven's the spirit realm. As long as we think the spirit realm is way up there, the law will never pass from you. As long as you think that God is external out there somewhere, you'll never have the Spirit of God within you. The law will always abide in your life as long as you think God's way out there somewhere. Can you hear what I'm saying? Oh, God. He said, until heaven and earth pass, that means they got to... Look here, if they pass, guess what they can do? They can come right in line. See, the gap between the two has got to pass. What is Jesus called? The mediator. In the Old Testament, it was said, he looked for a man to make up the gap, and no man was found. That's why he sent his son to fill the gap. That's what we're called to be. We're called to be the gap filler. We're called to be the one to reach between God and humanity and fill the gap. That's our purpose. That's our destiny. Do you understand what I'm saying? We've got to get this all put away, this separation from God and man. And when we do, guess what? When we let God inhabit His temple, guess what's going to happen? Anything the king wants, he's going to do. And the king's desire is to give you the desire of your heart. Come on. How much better could it be? When we have the mind of Christ, we're going to have the mind of God. And anything he wants to do is fine with me. Because it's his. It's his. Why? How could I argue with him? Okay? Do you remember what I ministered just a short time ago back in Habakkuk? Was it Habakkuk or Hosea? I'm going to have to look and see now. It's got to be Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2, yep. Verse 20, you remember what it says? But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Even Habakkuk under the law was saying, the Lord is in His holy temple. The church would teach you, you don't have God in your life until you say these magical words, I'm sorry. And you have to cry and slobber. Habakkuk told us back then, he didn't say God's going to be in His temple. Where is God? He is in His holy temple. How many times do we have to hear this truth before we believe it? Why can't we believe it? That's why Abraham was chosen, because he believed God and it was counted on him for righteousness. How do you think you're going to be righteous before God, Alice? Believing. Just like Abraham. See, he was a man of like passion, the book says. We can't keep looking at these men and women of the Bible as someone special. They're just like you and I. They're no different. If Abraham had to believe to be counted unto him for righteousness, what do you have to do, Faye? You have to believe what God says. We got to stop putting this stuff in the heavenlies up there and put it in our heart. This is where it's taking place. God dwells here in this temple, right? We got to stop this separation. It won't work. It hasn't worked in 4,000 years. Come on, has it? Humanity's a bigger mess than it's ever been. And God's still God. But see, everyone's shutting Him out of the temple. Everybody's putting Him out there in their minds. Nobody believes what God said. I can say, God is in His holy temple. Direct quote, right out of the language. And you know what? People say, yeah, I know, and someday He'll be back. Double-minded. Either He's here or He's not. Which one is it? Oh, my. How I got there from where I was going, but I went there. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. That's just a warm-up, I guess. Okay. That could have been what it was. They slipped onions on me tonight, Paul. Whew. Man. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, and show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus had entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Because I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say to you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the same self hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow you whithersoever you go. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my Father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke and said, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when he has come to the other side, into the country of the Gergeshenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have you to do with we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come to hither to torment us before our time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If you cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything that was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. Oh my, religion, religion, religion. I can't go back and preach all this stuff I've done in these first five chapters I've ministered here in Matthew, but what I will say this, when Jesus began this preaching on the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount, and we talked about this earlier about Jesus was not speaking to multitudes. Do you understand? You still remember that? Everybody taught that they taught to the multitudes, see, thousands of people. But if you'll back up to chapter 5, verse 1, and you'll see the answer to this. Okay? chapter 5, verse 1. Look what it says. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples come to him, and he opened his mouth. Who did he teach?
Disciples.
Did he teach the multitudes? This message was never directed at multitudes of people. Who's it directed to? Disciples. First fruit. See? And people miss the whole picture, don't they? Now look, he's been on the mount through chapter 5, 6, and 7. Look, at 8, look at the first verse. What happens? When he was come down from the mountain, see, when he came down, he was ascended up with his disciples. And now he comes back down. Okay? Notice the great multitudes where they're at. Where are they at? Are they on the mountain or are they in the valley? See? The multitudes are down there. See, in the valley. The first fruit will ascend to Mount Zion. They'll go to the highest realm. Okay? And behold, there came a leper to him, worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, literally, the I will should be, I desire you to be clean. There's God's heart. When you look at the leprosy, or a leper, who are we talking about? Us, humanity. See? And God's desire is that humanity be cleansed. Okay? So, Jesus said this in Matthew, where is it at? Matthew 12, let me see if I'm thinking right. Yep. Matthew, I want to go 34 and 35. Matthew 12, 34 and 35. Or is it, that's 13, isn't it? Yeah, that's what I wanted. Matthew 13. I turned to the 13th chapter and said 12. Matthew 13, 34 and 35. And this is what Jesus said. All these things spoke Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent away the multitudes. Who was he teaching to? Disciples. 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 Okay? Is the multitude going to hear what God's saying? I want you to understand, God wants you to be a disciple. Okay? Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, you will be my disciple. And you shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Literally, the truth you know. See, if you don't know it, the truth of this book will never set you free until you know it. You know why? Because you're bound in your mind. It's not something physically. There's no chains on us. But the chains we have in our mind are greater than the chains that anybody could put on you. And until I know this truth, I can never be free. I could be in prison and be the freest man in the world. And I can be walking free in the streets and be the most bound and miserable human being on the face of the earth. Because I don't know the truth. Hosea 4 and 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge of God. See? We don't know about God. We don't know what God's doing in our lives. Through everything we hear from the religious system, who's causing all the havoc in the world? The devil. Ain't no devil in my life causing me trouble. Only trouble I have is what I do. If I do something wrong, I will reap what I sow. Right or wrong. See? If I make a mistake, then I can't blame God and I can't blame no devil for it. If I choose to make a decision and it backfires on me, whose fault is it? Come on, it's my fault. See? If we will accept the responsibility as adults, mature Christians, mature sons of God, we're not going to have that problem. See, we're going to understand. I made a mistake. What am I going to do? Am I going to cry about it? Or am I going to say, hey, I made a mistake. Now we'll just straighten up and go on. What do you do? Which one do you do? You just accept the responsibility. That's maturity. I made a mistake. So what? Everybody makes mistakes. Draw a line in the sand, say, forget it. I'm going on. Say, I'm not going back here. I'm not going to live in condemnation, low self-esteem. I am going to go on from that mistake. Mistakes are the greatest thing in the world to ever happen to you. Because if you don't ever make a mistake, you will never change. You will never grow. And in religion, you're never permitted to grow. Because then your light might shine greater than somebody else's that's preaching, and then they'd be embarrassed. So, but God's desire is that you be cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man. Can you see humility in this? This man just saved his life in the physical. This man was destined to do what with leprosy? He would die. Eventually, he's going to die. And it's going to be a very slow, painful death. And God just cleansed him. Now, what's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to start shouting, woo! I'm free! I got life back! And he said, shh, don't tell nobody. Now, why do you think he didn't want to tell nobody? See, he knew who he was. See? He knew who he was. He knew his relationship with his Father. He knew his destiny. And he knew his Father's will from his will. And he knew that if he let people start blowing his horn, guess what's going to happen? I don't think I got on the tape. Don't worry. But see, you start getting yourself puffed up. That's not what it's about. It's about being grown up, not puffed up. So he knew all these things about himself. And he said, hey, boys, don't be go tell nobody. But you know exactly what that guy did. Come on. He might have walked away and said, okay. Ah! And he went and told everybody, you know. Wouldn't you? Come on. If God just healed you of some deadly disease, you think you wouldn't tell somebody about it? He knew he was going to, but he just still told him, don't talk to other people about it.
Why did he tell him to go to the priest and make the offering?
Okay, now. Because he was still under the law. He was still under the law. Okay, but he hadn't died yet. He hadn't died yet. See, and under the law, there was a sacrifice he had to give. Moses declared everything for everything. And it's in Leviticus. It's in... Well, I'm going to tell you what the exact sacrifice is. See, there was a specific sacrifice to do away with leprosy. Okay? It's about two chapters long. 16, 17 chapters of Leviticus. But here's what he had to do for a leprosy sacrifice. He had to have two birds. He had to have cedar wood. He had to have scarlet and hyssop, or hyssop, however you want to pronounce it. Do you know what those represent? Two birds. One dies for the other one. Wonder what that is. There's cedar wood. There's the cross. There's scarlet. There's the blood on the cross. And there's hyssop. And it said in the book, saying, Peter, by his stripes we were healed. Hyssop is for healing. It's a medicinal plant. See? There's a reason for each one of those things. It's all symbolism. And he said, you've got to keep this thing going because the sacrifice has not been made yet. Now that's when Jesus was still walking as a man on the earth. He hadn't been to the cross yet. So the law still hadn't been fulfilled. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah. You said cedar wood and the cross.
Dogwood, it's not a literal wood, it's just wood, okay? Cedar is a very strong wood that will not rot, deteriorate, you know, it's very good wood. But we're just saying that it's the wood is the cross. He was on the cross.
Yes, wood represents the cross, not the cedar.
Yeah. that's symbolism, so you can't put everything perfect and use all this stuff here.
Okay.
So, he said, offer the gift. The word gift is literally a sacrifice. The word should be sacrifice. So he said, offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for a what? The word testimony is not a real good translation of it. For a witness. See? Now, here's a man who just got touched by God. And he's showing you his self-restraint. I'm still going to do what I've been told. Even though God is standing here in the flesh right here in front of me, who touched me and healed my life and gave me my life back in the natural, is saying, go and do what Moses told you to do. Because I cannot violate the law. If I tell you to violate the law, guess what? I can't be the perfect sacrifice, can I? He was bound by that law because whose law was it? His too. It was his. It's his word, isn't it? And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. What does Capernaum mean? You have to go into a root to really find the meaning of the word. It means a village of comfort. Okay? So he went back into place of comfort. I know what they could call that place. Church. There came unto him a centurion, or that's a captain over 100 men, where we get our word century. How many years is that? That's a captain over 100 men, a centurion. Begging him or beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy. Literally, what that means is he's paralyzed. Okay? The word palsy there literally means he's paralyzed. Grievously tormented. Right? You know what the word tormented is there? Touchstone. Touchstone. He's been grievously tested. It's the same word, basanidzo. Basanidzo. 928 in the dictionary, the Greek dictionary. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Now you notice something this centurion did? He said, would you come and heal him, right? Did he say that? Beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies home, he's sick and grievous. God knew his heart. He said, I got somebody sick and healed. And you know he was asking him to come. And what did he say? I will come. Do you notice he didn't beg him over and over and over and over? Jesus said, well, no. See, how many times is that? How many times do you have to ask God to get it? Huh? Is God hard of hearing? That's what he's showing. Look, if you believe it, when you ask it, what's the word say? You shall receive it. See, this man believed in his heart. This whole thing tonight, what are we saying? What must I do to be counted righteous to God? I got to believe what He says. See, not what my head tells me, not what religion tells me, but I got to believe what God says. Can I get an amen to that? Okay? And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not even worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now that servant, normally most places in Scripture the word is doulos, but that's not doulos. This is a young boy. This is my personal attendant. Okay, like an attendant to the king has their own little servant guy that follows him around. He said, just speak the word and my servant shall be healed. You know what I see in that? I see first fruit. Because I am a man under authority. And that word under authority should literally say under delegated authority. See, a captain is not the authority, is he? The general is the authority, isn't he? And in that kind of rulership they had then, the king was the authority. He was only the delegated authority of the government, right? We have to know what delegated authority is. We need to understand that, I guarantee you. He said, having soldiers under me, and I say one to go, and he goes, and one to come, and he comes. And he said, I say to my servant, now this word servant here, doulos, different person. See, this is just my servant, my slave. Do this, and he does it. Okay? The difference in those two words, that word there in verse 8, where it says, my servant shall be healed, that word is 38:16 in the Greek dictionary, and the one in verse 9 is 1401. Two different words. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. Okay. Today, if someone comes to a man or woman of God and they say, would you come and pray for somebody? And somebody would say, hey, I can see God so strong on you, you don't even need to come to my house. Just say he's healed, and when I get there, I know he'll be healed. What would most people's heads be like? You couldn't even get them through the double doors. You know, they would get caught up in it. And what did Jesus do? He marveled. And what he marveled at was this centurion who was a Roman. Come on. This wasn't even one of them Jews, was it? This was like a Gentile to them, like a dog. And he had more faith than who? All of Israel. In all of Israel, he never found faith as great as what this centurion had. Isn't that what he says? And when he heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed him, or his disciples, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found this much faith, not nearly this much in all of Israel." Now, you talk about somebody just getting their ears pinned back, what happened? He said he said it to who? Who? Disciples. He just told them, you ain't got no faith.
And they followed him every day.
And he said, you ain't got no faith. Ain't they? Weren't they part of Israel? He just said, you say you're my disciples and you don't even have the faith of this Gentile walking out here. See, so it's not about this church thing. It's about what we believe in our heart. This whole thing is about believing what God says. When are we going to get there? See, everybody has these excuses. And if anybody thinks I haven't heard everyone conceivable, you're kidding yourself. There is no reason to not believe God except for one thing. And he just told us there. Unbelief. Doubt and unbelief is the only thing there is. The only reason we don't believe what he said is doubt and unbelief. Do you hear me? You're quiet. You're quiet.
That blows the church
too. Sure it does. God only
hears prayer of repentance. He don't hear prayer from nobody until you repent. And after the prayer of repentance, that's the only time you hear. Here you keep listening to this man here. I'll tell you.
Why? It's his heart. The man believed what he said. That's right. I know what the church world preaches just don't fly in this book. Well, you know what? I believe it. We believe what they said instead of what he said. I believe what he said. And I say unto you, who's he talking to again? Come on. Disciples. He said, I say unto you, and actually he's talking to you, see, many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. I see that as three realms. I'm not going to break that all down. It's not important. We're talking about the mind of Christ right now. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into what? Now, I see a lot of people say this is hell and all that. No, it isn't hell. If it was hell, it'd be another word, and they don't know hell could exist, what everybody teaches anyway. But if they be cast into outer darkness, there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Cindy, you got the Living Bible?
Yeah.
Read that verse in the Living Bible.
And many of Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, shall be cast into outer darkness into the place of weeping and torment.
Mm-hmm. See, this is a place. The kingdom was prepared for the Jewish nation, wasn't it? But they wouldn't believe, would they? They were full of what? Doubt and unbelief. He said they could not enter the kingdom. They couldn't come into the kingdom because of what? Doubt and unbelief. And then Jesus is standing here talking to his disciples and saying, you ain't got any belief in you either. Then who in the world has any faith? Come on. Who in the world has any faith? See, we look at these disciples and put them up so great. They were men of like passion, just like us. If you think Peter, James, John, Paul, and all the rest of them were better than you, you're cheating yourself. You're cheating yourself. Those men are examples for what we're supposed to live like. Only don't take the example that some of these disciples were giving you. See? He's showing you there's weaknesses in us. God doesn't cast us out because we're weak, but we got to believe. See? I don't have to be able to wrestle a bear to make it. All I got to do is believe what God told me in my heart. Can you hear what I'm saying? Hear what I'm saying to you. Not with these outer ears, with your inside. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so be it unto you. And his servant was healed in the same self hour. How did the centurion get his servant healed? believed it. He said, whatever you believe, that's what you're going to get. See? And the church says, well, now if you'll say three Hail Marys, two Our Fathers, and drop a couple bucks in the kitty on the way out the door, we can get you whatever you want. Now, I'm not just picking on Catholicism, because I'm talking about all the religions. They all got their rules and regulations. What did Jesus just tell you to do? Believe. Is that so hard? Yeah. Seems to be, don't it? Because nobody wants to believe. See, it's easier to fall back in the flesh and to blame somebody for our failures. The only reason I got a problem in my life is when I let myself fall into that situation where I feel sorry for myself. And you know, I got that opportunity every day, and so does every one of us. We have an opportunity to feel sorry for ourselves every day, don't we? Somebody looked at me wrong. Somebody changed my job. They didn't ask me if I wanted to change. They just changed me. See? Those things happen. Somebody sent me to Chicago and I didn't want to go there. See? Well, that's just the way it goes. See, I got a choice every day. I can get offended, I can get bitter, or I can get better. Right? Come on, we got to go where we got to go. But this man, all he did was believe. He said, and as you have believed, so be it done unto you. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. I can see another passage. I don't want to go into something there. There's something real deep in there, and I'm not going there tonight. It's deep. And when the one was come, they brought unto him, and when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word, and healed all that were sick. How did he get the devils out? Now, do you think it takes a man or a woman laying hands on you and speaking to a devil to get it out of you? Do you? What do you think? What gets it out?
Word. Knowing the word.
Uh-huh.
Because if you know the word,
you shall be free. You can't be deceived. Matthew 24:24. If possible, the very elect would be deceived. If possible. See? If I put so much of the word of God in my life, there's no room for nothing else. See? And it's my own natural thinking. See, there's a law of physics that is so true in the spirit realm. Two objects cannot possess the same space at the same time. You understand that? So if my mind is full of doubt and unbelief, and I drop in the Word of God, what's got to go? The doubt and unbelief has to go. There is no option in this thing. If I put the Word of God in my heart, guess what? The rest is gone. See, I don't have to put the word in and say, now what can I find that I don't that isn't right in my head and try to kick it out. That's not automatic. If you got a glass of water and start dropping rocks in it, the water has to go out, don't it? Every time you put something in that glass, something has to go. Same volume, something has to go. So every truth that I can pick up, every little nugget that I can glean from God's word, it's taking something out of my mind. And it's making it closer and closer to the perfection of the mind of Christ. It's not going to be automatic all at one time. Zap, you've got everything, is it? Isaiah 28:9-11 says, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. Right? And it starts out saying, in that same passage, whom shall the Lord teach knowledge and whom shall he teach wisdom or doctrine? Those that are weaned from the weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. See, people starting to grow up. They're not babies anymore. We have to grow up. Start getting the teeth, biting the meat. Verse 17, and he did this that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through, not by, but through Isaiah the prophet, saying, he took, himself should be he took our infirmities, and he what? Literally, it's lift up. He lifted up our infirmities. So what's it telling you? He took them to the cross. On the cross, he bore our infirmities, our sicknesses. Now, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a commandment to depart unto the other side. Whew, man, there's a multitude in that one. Listen, When Jesus saw the multitudes gathering around him, do you think he didn't know the multitudes were not serious? They were the fish and loaves Christians that come to see the miracles and to get fed for free. Is it any different today? There's people who want to come around and be fed for free and get a free meal and just hang around to see something happen? God knows that. But what did he say do? Go to the other side. See? Who put the separation in us? Who put the separation in us? God did. God said, go ahead and go to the other side. See? He doesn't want us in the multitudes until we're prepared. That's the real reason. So he says, where am I at? Oh. And a certain scribe came and said to him, Master, I will follow you wherever you go. Oh, have I heard them words. And you never see them again. Oh, well, forget that. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man, the weos of man, the weos of humanity, the mature son of humanity, and that's what he was talking about himself, and not just him. Jesus was just the head, and we are what? The body. So he's talking about the corporate son. See? This Son of Man has no place to lay his head, right? Let me read you something out of the book of Revelation. Okay. Now, everybody says that Jesus was poor and he didn't have a place to stay. I can show you through a whole bunch of scriptures that Jesus had a beachfront property on a lake. Okay, he had a pad on the beach. I can show it to you. He had a house on the Lake of Genesaret. Okay, lakefront property, isn't that prime property? Come on, he wasn't poor. Let me read you something out of Revelation 20, verse 4. Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither received his image, nor his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now I said, these people were beheaded. Do you remember what that means? They lost their identity. See? And that's what Jesus is saying over here. Jesus is saying, I have no place to lay my head. What's he saying? I ain't got a body yet that knows where my head belongs. Where does your head belong? On top of a body. See? He's telling you, I'm still looking for my body. See? The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He didn't have a body. The Scripture does say, thou hast a body thou hast prepared for me. But see, we don't know that yet, do we? We're just now coming into the understanding that we are the body being prepared for him to set his head upon us, the mind of Christ. Is that what we're talking about? The mind of Christ. Okay? If you want to see he had a house, look in Mark 2, verse 1. Just hold your place here. I'll show it to you real quick because I said something about it, so I'll make it clear to you. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And if you'll notice in Scripture, in the Gospels, Jesus was continually going to this town called Capernaum. Wonder why? You know why I go to West Portsmouth all the time? That's where I live. Okay? Make sense? And it says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was what? In the house. What house do you reckon it was? Look at verse 15 in this chapter. What's it say? And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in what? Well, his is a possessive word, isn't it? Does that show ownership? If I say that's my house, or someone says that's his house, does that show he owns it? Huh? I couldn't say this is my house if I didn't own it, could I? Come on. We have to think. Think. Don't believe all these stories people tell you. Think what this word says. Believe what it says. Okay, where am I at? Oh, 21. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer, or literally, allow me to go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Read that in the Living Bible. Someone's got it. You got it, Lois?
I don't know.
Cindy, you got it? See that? That goes right in parallel with Luke 9, where the man says, Jesus told him, let the dead bury the dead. You follow me. See? There's our call. See? We don't want to miss the call. And when he was entered into the ship or into a vessel, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose great tempest in the sea. That's in humanity, in us. See? And when he entered into the ship and his disciples followed him, that's the head Christ and the body of Christ. That's the Christ. The whole Christ, the corporate Christ. When it enters into what? Humanity in the ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the what? The sea, humanity. When Christ, the fullness of Christ, enters into humanity, there's going to be a tempest like you ain't never seen. Oh, it's going to be something. Insomuch that the ship or the vessel was covered with the waves. All it's saying is the tempest is... Philippians 4 and what? 6. And his disciples came to him and awoke and said, Lord, deliver us or protect us. We're perishing. God, I got a picture. Won't go there. And he said unto them, why are you literally faithless? The word literally says faithless. See? The exact opposite of faith is what? Fear. The opposite of fear is faith. So, why are you faithless? How long has Jesus been walking with them and they still don't believe they're in the protection of God? Oh, my goodness. Oh. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great... calmness, literally it says tranquility or peace. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Why should we walk in anything other than peace? Does that mean we will never have a blow up? No. But quickly I grab a hold and say, shouldn't have been there. Shouldn't have been there. You know, go back. Take me back down. Let's get back down where we belong. Okay. Sure. Sure. When he's asleep in you, You'll be in storms for sure. But when you let him wake up, things will be calm. But the men or humanity marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Winds, spirit. And the sea, the flesh, the humanity. See, everything obeys who? Christ. See, what are they going to say to you? See, you guys see this as you. What is the humanity going to say to you when you start rebuking the wind and the waves in their lives? Mm-hmm. They're going to say, what manner of man is this that all this obeys him? But see, Jesus gave us a warning about that. Because see, you can get caught up in pride again. He said, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Got to watch it. Got to watch. Anytime there's delegated authority in your life, you got to watch that you don't take authority in your own hands. It's not your authority. It's a delegated authority. We don't have anything except what is His. Do you understand me? We got to watch getting hold, getting control. That's why Jesus could take control, because He had been tested. Okay? And when he was come to the other side, okay, to the other side, into the country of the what? Gergeshenes. You know what that means? It means reward at the end. I see reconciliation. See, these people get their reward when? At the end, okay? There met him two possessed with devils. What does two represent? And it also represents something else. Duality, see? As long as there's duality in your mind, guess what's going to be there? Devils. Coming out of them, there are tombs. What tombs? Y'all's. Places where nothing but death and carnality reign. What kind of people? Don't go there. Okay. Exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass through that way. See? As long as we're in duality, those images in our mind are so strong that no man can pass through there. And until we come to the understanding that just what Jesus told us in Luke 11, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. You shall tread on serpents and scorpions, that's demons and devils, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Do you believe it? If you believe it, guess what? You'll stand right up and walk in it. And when the devils speak, you'll laugh at them. You won't be afraid of none of them because you have power over all the power of the enemy. And behold, they cried out saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art you come hither to torment us? And guess what? That word is the same touchstone. Are you here to test us too, before our time or our set time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. Now notice where he's at. He's on the other side. He's went back to the other side from the side where the disciples were at. He's went back to the other side of the lake, back to the Gentile side. And look what he says. There was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou canst us out, suffer or allow us to go into the herd of swine. What's a swine? It's a hog, right? And everybody knows that hogs was an unclean animal to the Jewish people. First of all, I want to know what the hogs was doing around them Jewish people to start with. Unclean animals, see? Now they were raising them. You'd be surprised if some of them didn't have some sausage for breakfast once in a while. Okay? But what is swine representative of? Yeah, but it's representative of something else. Let's go a little deeper. Let's go spiritual with it. Christians. Unclean. See? A clean animal under the law had to have the split hoof and chew the cud. See? That means his inside was clean because he chewed the word. See, that's speaking of a Christian regurgitating what we hear and going and checking it out and reading and studying and meditating with God. But the swine looks good on the outside. He's got the hooves, ain't he? See? But inside, just like Jesus taught, the inside of the cup, the outside's clean, but the inside's full of all kinds of abominations and dirty, filthy stuff. See? And that's the religious folk. Now notice what happens. Notice what happens. He said, let us go into the herd of swine. He said to them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place, literally a cliff, into the sea, jumped off a cliff into the sea and perished in the water. Okay? I think this is funny. Because humanity lives with demonic influence. And I know I'm just making a joke out of this thing. Humanity lives with them, and hogs got enough sense to kill themselves rather than live with demons. That strikes me as funny. Why would we, the intelligent people, want to live with this in our lives? Can you hear me? Why would we want this in our lives? And the hogs got enough sense to go die rather than that. And they that kept them fled and went their way into the city. They that kept them. What would you call someone that's looking over a herd? Okay. But let's go someplace else. I know what you're saying. Let's go someplace else. Don't they call them shepherds that watch over flocks and herds? Okay. Who do you think he's talking about? He's talking about pastors who are hirelings. They're Levites for hire. And whenever something comes up strong and hard, what are they going to do? They're going to run. See, they're not going to be there for you.
Get the church.
There you go. That's the way they do it. And they that kept them, that's the religious imposters, they fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of devils. So they told what happened to these demon-possessed people, didn't they? And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. Well, boy, if you stop there, that just sounds, oh, amen, brother, it's getting good now, we're having a revival. See? But read the rest of it. Now, this is religion to the height today. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. Literally, he would leave from their boundaries. And see, that's church today. Don't you be coming in our services messing us up. We've got patterned out what we're going to do. There's no pattern of a worship service in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. Do you know why? Because it's supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. There is no pattern except what the Spirit wants at that particular time. So how could we pattern anything? And see, religion patterns everything. And they set it up so God doesn't have time to get in. See, if we'll slow down, guess what we'll do? What will we do? We'll begin to hear God if we slow down. So that's why they schedule every minute they got something going on. God ain't got time to get in. They don't permit Him a place to get in. See? Be still and what? Know that I am God. We've got to be still sometime. We've got to sit down in this thing, slow down, and hear what God's saying to us. Now, tell me something. We're talking about the mind of Christ. This is natural in most people's lives. We try to keep ourselves occupied to keep God from getting a hold of us. It's a normal process. Didn't say it's right, but say it's normal. That's what people do. They try to keep God from getting them, so they keep busy. Now, I ask you to do something right now. Take your mind into God's mind right now. You be Jesus. You just delivered these poor men who were demonically influenced so bad that they were naked and chained in the tombs and they broke chains, they couldn't keep it. And you walk up there and deliver these two men that they're in their right mind and they're fully clothed now and they're sitting at the feet of Jesus and wanting to go with Him. You read another passage, brings the fullness of it all in. And show what's going on. And what did they tell Him to do? You know what that is? Rejection. If you don't suffer with Him, you'll not reign with Him. See? Pattern. It's pattern. And if you don't learn to take this rejection the same way that He took it, do you hear Him crying? Do you hear Him having a pity party? See, that's where we have to come. We have to come to the place that these blows come against us and we just stand there and say, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. They don't even understand who they are yet. We have to take that blow. And if you think we're going to be any better off than Him, you're kidding yourself. We have to walk the same walk He did. We have to go through that same identity crisis right here. Everything that He knew, we got to know all this right here. Every one of us has got to put that in our heart. Not just words that I wrote on this board about He knew who He was, that was His identity. He knew His Father, His relationship. He knew His purpose, His destiny, and He knew His will from His Father's will. See, it's not just words. This is a reality we've got to get in our hearts. For too many years, the church has come up with formulas, little cliches, little sayings, and they won't help you a bit if you memorize every one of them. It won't help you a bit. It's got to come from your heart. You've got to let God get in there and work. You've got to stop wrestling with Him. You've got to let Him have it. Oh, I'm glad tonight. Any questions?